You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. On Monday mornings, you can call the program at 564-1290, 564-1290. When we rebroadcast Monday evenings at 9 p.m. and Saturday afternoons at 2 p.m., call Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, at 898-4242, 898-4242, and visit RadioRealEstate.com for program information and to search MLS listings in Santa Barbara and throughout California. We're talking with Gary Earle, who's president of the Coalition for Sensible Planning. We're talking about the debate of affordable housing and density issues. And we have a caller from someone I believe I know, Chuck Kent.
Yes, hiya, Mark.
I know you, right?
Yes, you do, from the Screenwriters Association.
Are you still doing that?
Yes, I am.
Boy, I wish I had time. I'd love to. Are you still meeting at the same place?
We're meeting at Borders Books every month now to talk about book writing and screenwriting. As you remember from the days when you used to meet with us and talk about the writing you were doing.
Well, yeah, it just didn't really... now I get to do mini writing every week, little mini vignettes.
Sure. Well, I was calling because I'm very much in support of Gary's positions, and one of the things I wanted to mention that really bugs me about these new revisions that are being proposed Monday, that they're trying to rush through before we lose the two pro-development supervisors, is this topic you just touched on for subsidized housing for people earning up to $139,000.
Yeah, the workforce housing.
Yeah, now supposedly that's for critical workers, but I'm imagining that it has to be on a lottery system, and I doubt very many critical workers like farmers are going to really actually qualify to be able to get one of those homes. But as soon as they pass that thing, it's opened the door we've already seen for this county plan you were just starting to get into to build 150 units for county employees only?
Yeah, they say that they're going to try to lean it towards that. That's the question I always ask.
No, the proposition for the 150 units is up on the county campus off of Cathedral Oaks and 154, and that would be for county employees. But it's amazing, if you saw the plans, they're talking about building 1,800 square foot units on hillside property, duplex type units, and it's amazing. They've been working on this now for 6 months. Rather than put county effort, money, and talent into coming up with projects for the most needy, as soon as they started talking about a category for people making up to $139,000, the counties, the planners and whatnot are out there doing a self-dealing program.
That's right. You know, Gary and Mark, they're going to try to sell these houses for something like $409,000 to county employees, some of whom hopefully would be critical workers like firemen. But we assume that's also got to be on a subsidy system, and we doubt many critical workers would really get them. But then what happens, this is the opportunistic thing that bothers me. These county employees who qualify, whose families make less than $139,000, leave the county government, the DA's office, the public defender's office, the county billing department, the housing department. They go get bigger and better jobs next year. They're earning much more money than qualified, but they still own this home. And I'm at very low property tax rates, and I'm presuming they'll get to keep those homes forever if they choose to continue living in them. They own them.
Yeah, there's no question.
It seems like a total boondoggle for the benefit of county employees
and for very few of them. For these houses at market would sell for $1 million to $1.2 million. If they sell them for $400,000, they're creating a $600,000 subsidy per house times 150. It's a $90 million subsidy for a handful of county employees. And as Chuck said, let's say you have an $80,000 county worker that buys one of these, gets married to a similar income person. Now we're subsidizing a couple making $160K. And as Chuck said, that you could have a young doctor come in here as an assistant coroner or medical examiner, spend a few years with the county, and then go out as a private pathologist making $250,000 a year. Same for all the young attorneys. And let's not forget, over the last 30 years, the median price of a house has gone up 30-fold. If we project that out for the next 30 years, these million-dollar houses we're subsidizing to these people would be worth $30 million. So we're giving them a $30 million retirement home on top of it. So this kind of stuff's ridiculous.
And the same thing applies to the houses that will be built under this proposed new level of workforce housing being added, even to people who are not county employees. They're proposing that every builder, one out of every 10 new houses that's being built, has to include one of these workforce housing things that's sold at a very low subsidized price. These same problems follow. Not many critical workers are probably going to ever get them. The people who get them will have a real good deal for the rest of their lives.
And it is a lottery system. And, you know, it's on top of it, that is not a category of housing that is approved by the state housing mandate. So we get no credit for those homes against our requirements for the state housing mandate.
No, wait, that's a kicker. What does that mean? Why is it that way?
Well, because the workforce housing category, which the county made up at 200% of area median income, is not a category of housing that's accepted in the state housing mandate. Ed Moses, the director of Housing and Community Development, I understand, went to Sacramento to try and get that approved as part of the state housing mandate, and they laughed, saying, "You're kidding, housing for people making up to $139K, no way." But our county government wants to do it anyway.
Yeah, and the worst part is that our local government claims they want to do something about the high price of housing. All these programs do is drive up the market rate housing. Developers have to pay for these subsidized things somehow, so what they do is they have to add their additional costs onto their other market rate housing. I heard one developer from Berman Company say that he's going to have to add $75,000 to every house he's building to pay for this program.
But the other side of the issue, and the people on the other side of this issue, I should say, are basically claiming that that's not true, that because they give the developer higher densities and they could build more homes, somehow it evens out. But that you don't agree with that.
The county people manipulate these facts and numbers so much, there's no way to keep straight what they're
Now, I
really
do want to say in the spirit of full disclosure that Chuck Kent is an attorney.
Right.
And I think that there was a slight slam against attorneys there earlier by my guest, Gary. But
rightfully so sometimes.
But I think a big issue that you raised here about this county-owned land, what I've always asked when people are saying, "Do you would like to help people who, you know, are, let's say, the cops or nurses or critical workforce?" My understanding was that they can't build housing and say, "Well, you know what? We're going to build it, and we're only going to sell it to nurses and cops."
Well,
I thought that was illegal.
That's a good point. We're waiting to hear the county give us some sort of a legal opinion on that. Another good point that needs to be brought up. And that's the question: is before the county is spending time, money, and effort in coming up with plans for this 150-unit program, why don't they have these questions answered? Why don't they bring these proposals out for community comment and vetting before they start going ahead with this? This was done entirely in secret and then exposed into the county system through this obscure committee called the Debt Advisory Committee, where they wanted to get approval for $54 million in bond financing to build it. And ironically, Susan Rose, who's the big proponent of all of this stuff, sits on this debt advisory committee, and Ed Moses was funneling it through there.
And one of the ironies is we'd been to a meeting with her just 2 weeks before where that very campus was one of the sites selected by her own neighborhood committees. It took 8 months, 38 people. And they said, "That's where we want to put some subsidized housing for the truly needy people." And we all agreed with that. Suddenly, even though it was on the written calendar, they never discussed it. Ned Moses and all of the other county planners sat right there, never said a word, because they all knew they had this alternate plan already cooking for the last few months. They already had a county council's opinion on it. They had drawings drawn up, floor plans drawn up, and they hid that from us. So now they're trying to squeeze in through this new level of workplace housing to do themselves a real good service.
Now, if you own land like Cottage Hospital purchased St. Francis Hospital. So if you own the land, I don't know if either one of you can answer this question. If it's owned by Mark Schneidman, or it's owned by the county, or if it's owned by Cottage Hospital, Kent, is it legal for them to build condos and say, "You know what, we're just going to sell it. It's going to be like the old company towns. Just employees of Cottage Hospital can buy this." Is that legal?
It may be.
I believe that's
for
correct.
Teachers, maybe for Cottage Hospital, for nurses and doctors, and that's fine. Countywide, that's a whole different ballgame. We're all taxpaying citizens that own this land. Ed Moses claimed very briefly that a deputy county council had told him that some discrimination could be allowed, but I'd sure like to see this be played out. I doubt it can be allowed to that extent. If it could, I'd love to see all our firemen and policemen getting these subsidized homes, but I don't think that's going to happen. Be a lot of housing department employees be in line for that So I prefer that pick, that draw.
We actually had a fireman call the program once when we were discussing this, who said that his choice would actually be to buy somewhere that was market rate, where he could get appreciation. The way his schedule is with being on and off, and you know the commute, didn't mind it.
No, exactly. That's another ridiculous assumption on the part of the county that these people would want to be into a price controlled unit that's going to be price controlled for 90 years, and essentially all they're doing is renting with some tax benefits. And so, I mean, if the county's going to do anything, they should do rental units so that you have a flow of people in and out as they need the housing and not somebody that's locked in there for the rest of their life.
That's right. And, Mark, and on your point, I heard developers say at a meeting with Linda Plowman that they have trouble selling these things for just that reason. And Linda says, pay us upwards of $500,000 per house you don't build instead. Then we'll take that money and we'll go be able to use it to match state funds. So it's another boondog, it's sort of a form of blackmail. These developers, they know they're not going to do well on these houses.
Well, speaking of rather not do, I'd rather not take this half-hour break that's coming up, but I got no choice. We're going to cut away here. Thank you, Chuck Kent. Gary, why don't you stay on? In fact, both stay on. I want to say something to you after the break. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.